as we come together on this morning, thanking God for another wonderful Lord's Day. Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow, it is not ours. Today is all we have. It's all we have. If we do not make the best of today, and we should lose our lives, there is only one place, but one place that we will go. We have to be mindful of the many opportunities God has given his people to do what is right. And those of us that have put Christ on, we need not think that everything is okay, that we've hit a home run and we don't really necessarily have to go around the bases. All we can do is just go and touch first base and go sit down. It's not the way it works. God has told us throughout Scripture, told man throughout Scripture, how they're supposed to conduct themselves in his presence. We find in the book of 2 Chronicles, in the chapter 6, Solomon, as he prays during the dedication of the temple, these are his words in verse 24 of 2 Chronicles chapter 6. The verse is 24. If your people are defeated before the enemy because they have sinned against you, and they turn again and acknowledge your name and pray and plead with you in this house, then hear from heaven and forgive the sin of your people Israel, and bring them again to the land that you gave to them and to their fathers. Solomon says, if your people. Now, I love God's reply. It's very simple, isn't it? You ask, and you know what I will do? I will give. Then if my people who are called by my name, there in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, if my people, now Solomon's prayer, if your people, God said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land. A merciful God. A gracious God. If you ask it, I give it. It's all in a manner of how you ask. He allows it to rain on the just as well as the unjust. But since you are praying on the behalf of these people, my people, that's what you call them, Solomon. You say, if your people, and God in turn, if my people. You know, I believe that we need to understand that God's desire is for man to stay with him, never to leave, but stay with him. But since they depart away, there's something that must be done in order for them to be restored. Repentance is what we're talking about on this morning. I told you a couple of Sundays ago that we were going to talk about six very important things. We started out by looking at hearing. Faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hearing is so important. And on last Sunday, we talked about believing. Believing. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." It's important that we realize these things. For a man that has never come to acknowledge who Jesus Christ is before anybody and have had their sins washed away, that man needs to consider the six important things that we need to do. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. And the sixth one is to live faithful. Live faithful. But on this morning, we're going to look at repentance. And I want us to understand that turning away from something without having a change of mind is useless. It is useless. I turn away from you, but yet I still, you know, trying to get back to you. Remember Lot's wife. Don't look back. Leave Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, not stopping on the plains, but going to the hills. Leave. And don't look back. Don't look back. See, Lot's wife did not have a complete change of mind when she left that city. The Bible says she looked back and she turned into a pillar of salt. We need to understand today that when we look back or we longing for something that we're left behind, that we really haven't done what we're supposed to do. We really have not had a change of mind. Repentance. Turn away from having a change of mind. And as we look at it, we're going to look at several scriptures dealing with repentance. First, let's start out in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and the verses 10. Godly sorrow. The Bible talks about here as Paul is writing to the church of Corinth, godly sorrow. We have so many people today that they don't necessarily have godly sorrow, but they're not repenting, but they are reporting. What does that really mean? You got caught doing something. Now your feet are held to the fire and you're saying, yes, I did it. But there's no godly sorrow about it. If I have the opportunity, I'll do it again. That's not repentance. That is not repentance. So here in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, and the verse is 10, "For godly sorrow or godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret, whereas worldly grief produces death." Two people. Look at both of these things here. One, Peter. Peter denied Christ three times. And when the cock crowed, Peter wept bitterly. He was sorry. He had godly sorrow for what he had done, realized that the words of Jesus were true. How do we feel about the words of Jesus? When we find ourselves falling short and we find ourselves caught up in something that we should not be caught in, how do we feel? How do we feel? Judas, when he had betrayed Christ and then all of a sudden, you know, is pointed out what he had done, and now Judas, he goes back and he tried to get the 30 pieces of silver back. Oh, no, you did it. You're going to have to own up to it. Judas went out and hung himself. He did not have godly sorrow about him. He did not have salvation granted to him because he went out and took his life for a sin that he had committed. We need to realize that when we have godly sorrow, that means that we are changing from one condition to another condition. We're not going to sit there and wallow in what we have done, but we're going to do something about what we have done. And Peter did something about what he had done. He preached the word of God on the day of Pentecost. He fed the sheep of the mighty Lamb. He fed them God's word. And I believe today that we have many people in the category of not necessarily having godly sorrow. But yet they are, okay, I did it. Like a lazy attitude, don't really care. But what about the penalty that you're going to have to pay for doing what you have done? A lot of men think that there's not going to be any consequences for sin, that they don't have to turn away from doing things that are wrong. Yes, we need to turn away. We need to have a change of mind. We need to repent. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Why do we need to repent? Because we serve a God that tells us if we repent that he's not going to remember those sins anymore. Our name is put back into the book of life because we have done something in order to have it taken out of the book of life. Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. And the verse is 19. Acts 3 and the verse is 19. Repent therefore and turn back that your sins may be blotted out. You know, growing up and we were in school and you make a mistake on your paper and you get your eraser and you erase it. But yet you have used some type of pen or pencil that is hard to erase and you keep erasing and you finally erase a hole in your paper. You can't see it anymore. Our teachers used to tell us, don't try to blot it out. Just draw one line through it so I can see the answer that you thought was the right answer, but yet it was the wrong answer. Just draw one line through it. That's the correct way, so they say. But God, when we repent, he does not draw a line through it. He blots it out. He does not remember those things anymore. Yes, we have a mind where we remember things and we're not like God. God doesn't bring them back up, but we do. When you turn back away from something that's wrong, when you turn back to God or turn away from something that's wrong and turn back to God, he blots out your sin. Is that not the type of God that we love to serve? One that blots our sins out? That we don't have to worry about him saying, oh, you remember when you did that yesterday? Oh, you remember last month when you did that? God does not remember those things. So therefore, let's repent of our sins. Let's turn back to him and have our sins blotted out. Amen. Luke chapter 13, verse 3 and 5. Luke chapter 13, verse 3 and 5. Well, let's just start with verse 1 and come down to verse 5. The words of our Lord and Savior talking about repentance. There's a condition here. The condition is very clear. Jesus does not make a mistake in what he's saying. And here's what he does. You know, a lot of times we hear people say things, or we're talking to somebody and we want to stress the importance of it. Look what Jesus does here. Starting with verse 1. There were some present at that very time who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he said, and he answered them, do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans? Do you think now? Because they suffered in this way. He said, no. I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Here's the question that is asked. Is there a big sin or a little sin? Jesus said, no. Except you repent, you will all likewise perish. That's what we need to understand. So repent or perish. It's a choice. You don't have to repent. But he said, if you don't, you're going to perish. So why not repent? Amen. It would be very beneficial, would it not? But here's what happens. Romans chapter 2, verse 5. Romans chapter 2, verse 5. Well, we got that man that listened to the word of God all the time. He hears what the word of God says, and I think that it would be a good thing to obey God's word for you, but not for me. Romans chapter 2, verse 5. Romans chapter 2, verse 5. But because of your hard and impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. So just because you are stubborn doesn't mean that you're going to get away with anything. Oh, you can't move him. He's set. Oh, his feet is in stone. There's no way you can move him. Well, if he's set and his feet is in stone against the truth, there's something that awaits him, and that is judgment. We're all going to be judged, but the wrath in judgment is for that man that is an unbeliever, that man that is a fornicator, that man that's a thief, that man that's a homosexual, that man that's a liar. All sins, once again, no sin is greater than any other sin. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Stubbornness is just talked about right here. Because of their stubbornness, they're the ones that's putting something in place of what God wants them to do. And they're the ones that's going to pay for it in the very end. Jeremiah 31:19. When we do things wrong, what type of attitude do we have? What type of attitude do we have? Many times we think that it's okay. No one can tell me what to do. I can do what I want to do. But when you learn the truth and you come away, you're strayed away, but now you're coming back, being the person that God wants you to be, the Bible speaks here. Jeremiah 31 and the verse is 19. For after I have turned away, I relented. And after I was instructed, I struck my thigh. I was ashamed and I was confounded because I bore the disgrace of my youth. Many reasons why people go back and commit the sins that they have committed, that they have come away from, is because they have no shame. You hear people say, there's no shame in my game. All they're saying is, hey, look at me. I'm who I am, not because of who he is. I'm who I am because of what the people want me to be. No shame. Jeremiah had shame. That shame would cause a person not to go back into that old lifestyle. Not to do the things that they're supposed to do. Not to stray away from God's word. But come to God and realize that those things are not right. And I need to live a life that God is pleased with. Repentance is a very important part of us becoming Christians. And not only becoming Christians, but remaining a Christian. Repentance, because we make mistakes. We make mistakes. Who did Jesus come for? The Bible is very clear in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, Luke chapter 19, verse 10. The Bible is very clear. She shall give birth to a son and call his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. He came to seek and to save those that were lost. How would this take place? In Luke chapter 5, verse 32. Luke chapter 5, verse 32. I have not come to call righteous people, but sinners to repentance. Sinners. The call is made. Who's hungry? Who's hungry? You know who's going to answer? The man that's hungry. Who needs God? The man that does not have God. Amen. Who needs to repent? Sinners. Sinners. See, sometimes we're quick to tell someone that they need to repent. And we fail to look at our own lives. We need to see what we're doing. And if we're not living the way we're supposed to, we need to change. The parable of the lost sheep in Luke chapter 15. Man has 100 sheep, one go astray. One go astray. What is he supposed to do? Oh, that one doesn't really matter. He was weak anyway. Oh, the wolves, they will have a good feast on tonight. No, you're supposed to go after that one. And when you go after that one, look what the Bible says in verse 7 of Luke chapter 15. Rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep. In the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't ever strayed away. Over one lost sinner that repents. You got a lost sinner that never repents. There's nothing to rejoice about, is it? You go to him and you talk to him according to Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. You see this man in fault and you go to him and you're trying to encourage him to come away from the sins in which he's committed. And he said, leave me alone. I'm happy with what I'm doing. There's nothing to rejoice about. Only thing you can do is go tell someone, oh, I know where he is. Have you really found him? No, you haven't. He is still there. Finding him is bringing him or her back. And that person repents of their sin. Then it's time to rejoice. And oh, rejoicing we will do. Because it is well worth it. That one soul that we save. A man that doesn't understand a change of mind is a man that doesn't understand God. We need to know that God is willing and waiting for each one of us to get our lives in order. And not only get them in order, but to keep them in order. Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. I was in class this morning and Sister Bunny was talking and someone else was making a comment as well, a reference to this same line here. How God allowed things to happen in certain ways at one point in time. You know, I see what you're doing. I'm going to be okay with it right now. And that's what the scripture says here in Acts 17, 11. At the times of this ignorance, when people worshiped him in a manner that they didn't really understand how they was worshiping him, he said, I winked at that. But you know what I do now? He said, I command men everywhere to repent. You don't understand? Shame on you. Shame on you if you don't understand. You need to have someone guide you through the scriptures. You need to have someone to explain to you what the Word of God said. And then you need to take it all in, and then you need to understand, I myself am a sinner. I need to get right with God because there's not going to be an excuse in the end. Amen. You know, there's going to be a lot of reasons given in the very end why you did not obey. A reason is just another word for excuse. God is not going to put up with it. Why didn't you do what I told you to do? Well, you know, I didn't think you didn't what? No, you didn't read. You didn't understand. You didn't realize that I was God. You didn't realize that my word was true. See, we need some people to understand that they need to repent. But here is God. Here is God. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. See, we don't think like God. Oh, you've had your opportunity. You didn't take it? Shame on you. We're quick to condemn a man to hell without giving him an opportunity to learn the truth. But here's God. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, or should reach repentance. That's God. Is it going to happen? No. We know that people are going to be disobedient. All are not going to obey. We realize what the scripture says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. That's who's going to get in heaven. The ones that do the will of the Father. Not all are going to get there. It's sad that some family members are not going to be in heaven. It's sad that some of our friends are not going to be in heaven. It's sad that some of us, as people of God right now, are not going to be in heaven. But the good thing is this. If we do not make it, those that do, they're not going to know. They're not going to sit there, Lord, why come he didn't come in? Why come she didn't come in? We're going to be focused on worshiping him. Praising him around the throne. Don't have time to be sorry for someone that didn't make it. Now is your opportunity to repent of something that you have done. Get your life right with God and be able to enter in the very end. Psalm 51:4. David, man after God's own heart, David committed several sins. David was not perfect. There's not one of us that's perfect. Only one perfect person has lived this earth, and that is Jesus Christ. But here's David unto God. Psalm 51, verse 4. Against you and you alone have I sinned. Now, we can evaluate this, and we can weigh it, and we can go and say, well, David, you sinned against this person, you sinned against that person. David wasn't saying that he didn't do anything against anybody else. That's not what David was saying. David said, I know what I was supposed to do, God. I know the life that you wanted me to live. I know the place where you're putting me, and I have sinned against you. And you alone have I sinned, and I have done what is evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just. Whatever you have in store for me, I'm ready to accept it because I sinned against you. See, we don't have the attitude that David had when we sin. Lord, that punishment right there, that's too harsh. Lord, why? Why are all these things happening to me? Just because I did that one little bitty sin. Why are all these things happening to me? There's no little sin, no big sin. You sin, you need to suffer the consequences, and you will. And you will. Some may say, well, you know, that judgment that that person got for what he did is not as steep as what I've got. But you know what? It's still judgment. It's still judgment. But if you do not repent of a sin, you're not going to be able to get into heaven. And hell is going to be full. It is going to be full. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 again. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 again. It's really worth it, isn't it? To look at what the Bible says and look at where God wants us to be. He does not want us to be in sin, but he wants us to be right in his presence doing the things that's right. It's a promise. And the Bible says he is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward that not one shall perish. Not one, but that what? All come to repentance. All come to repentance. Are you willing to repent? Are you willing to get your life right? Those that crucified Jesus Christ. You say, man, that's the worst sin anyone could ever commit is crucifying Jesus Christ. Peter said, there is something that you can do about that. When he told them in Acts chapter 2 what they had done, the Bible said they were pricked in their hearts in Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Pricked in their hearts. Godly sorrow. The Bible said produces what? Salvation. What did they say? Men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized. Repent and be baptized. See, that's what it's all about. Not just hearing God's word, but hearing God's word and being baptized. Believing God's word and being baptized, according to Mark chapter 16, verse 16. Then Peter himself said, repent and be baptized. See, repentance is important. But you know, once we become children of God, because the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 47, praising God, Acts chapter 2, verse 47, praising God and having faith with all the people the Lord adds to the church daily, such as should be saved. Those that have repented and were baptized, the Lord added them to the church. But as being members of the church, we are not the person that's not going to ever fall away. We're not the people that's never going to sin again. Revelation chapter 3 and the verses 19. Revelation chapter 3 and the verses 19. Those consequences I was talking about earlier. Here's why we go through what we go through. He says, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. I don't like that. Lord, could you whip me in another fashion? I don't like that. No, get whipped the way God want to whip you. And be satisfied with it. And do something about why you're being whipped. Because, you know, as we're whipping our children or have whipped our children in time past, and for a reason, they always say, oh, I'm not going to do it again. I'm not going to do it again. And here's the reply. You should not have done it in the first place. Amen. God is patient with us. As he disciplines us, this is what he says. I reprove and discipline those that he loves. So be zealous and do what? Repent. Repent. Some children never learn. Some children of God never learn. Okay, I got called. I'm getting disciplined for this right here. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to keep doing it. Haven't learned a thing. What's going to happen to those people that do not learn or has not learned? They're going to die in their sins and wish that they had listened to the word of God. Once you die, it's too late. No one can pray you out of hell. That is going to be your home throughout all eternity. But what can we do with our sins? 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. What can we do with our sins? We don't have to live with them. Don't have to live with them. Consequences, yes, but not with the sin. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. Verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of just some of the things we've done. Not what the scripture says. He's to forgive us all of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins. If we confess our sins. We started this word out, this lesson out with Solomon's prayer. If your children would turn back to you. God said, if they do. If they do. Well, if we confess our sins, that's turning back to him, he will forgive us. Nothing has changed with the God that we serve. He's the same God yesterday, the same God today, and if we live tomorrow, he will be the same God. He will be the same God. Says that about Jesus. Same yesterday, today, and forever. Forever. Throughout all eternity. Man changes. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, we're asking you to change. Amen. We're asking you to come away from sin. We're asking you to come and to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We're asking you to be immersed in the watery grave of baptism, to rise to walk a newness of life. And if you make a mistake along the way, repent of it. Amen. Do what is right. Ask for the prayers of the church. That's what we're here for. We're here to pray one for another. We're here to strengthen one another. We're here to encourage you to live a life that is pleasing unto God. If you're here and you're not a Christian, that opportunity is yours. Maybe you're here and you are a Christian and you have strayed away. You realize today that you need to come back to the fold because tomorrow is not ours. We may die. We walk out the door. We may die before we leave this building. Amen. Don't leave here wandering. Leave here right. If you're here and you're subject to the invitation, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing.